What's your racket, handsome?
I'm a Bible salesman.
Want to take me away from all this and make an honest woman out of me?
No, ma'am. I was just hoping to take you to bed.
It is me, CyberGosh, here with Eros Welker on your second Entertainment Geekly podcast. And
first of the year.
Happy 2013.
Welcome to 2013. It's going to be a good year for movies. I'm really excited.
But it wasn't a good start. We just saw the first movie of 2013 that we wanted to see. The official first was Chainsaw 3D. Did you see Chainsaw 3D?
I didn't see Chainsaw
3D. We should do a little catch-up.
I also would not necessarily agree that this is a movie I wanted to see. It just was a movie that we got to see.
Yeah, so we're coming out of the Arclight in Hollywood, and we saw a screening of Ruben Fleischer's third feature film entitled Gangster Squad. And just to explain, we are in a bad headspace because that movie was a chore.
I was just hoping to take you to bed.
The movie was not, it wasn't good. I mean, the problem with the movie, and I think, I mean, you kind of know this going in. Here's the thing. I'm not against popcorn movies. Like,
there's a lot of popcorn
movies I like.
Yeah.
And this is intended to be a popcorn movie, right? It's the Mickey Cohen tale with today's top stars, because it's definitely got an A-list cast. Mm-hmm. Sean Penn, for crying out loud, what the hell is he doing in this movie? He's great, but what is he doing in this movie? And it's a gangster tale, but it just felt like they just moved from every stereotypical beat to beat that you've seen for a million years. Here's where we need the montage. Here's where we need the hooker with the heart of gold. Here's where we need
she's not even a character. The thing is, I want to put, but you know what I'd like to do on our EG podcasts? Because everybody, we're still forming these, and we're forming structure of these podcasts, but I would love to start the podcast by just, like you were just doing, I would like to say that our headspace going into the movie.
Okay.
And I loved his last two movies. I thought that I did not think 30 minutes or less was going to be any good from the trailers. And I actually really loved the movie. I thought it was funny, but it's, I guess, more based in that film on some of the performances. Nick Swartzen was great. And it still felt like a little bit of a step back from Zombieland. And so this feels like
I did love Zombieland.
Yes, same here. And so this one feels yet like a couple of steps back from even 30 minutes or less. And he's going in reverse. So I was excited based on his other films. It feels like every film he does is a couple of steps back. And ever since Phil Giovanni has there been a director that's pulled this move.
I was just hoping to take you to bed.
I'm not surprised. I mean, considering the cast involved, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of forces at play, and he's not a seasoned director yet. I mean, maybe he thinks he is. I don't know, but it just definitely felt like. I mean, there's definitely some creative, stretching in the film. There were some very weird shots. Also, a lot of these weird zooms inside of the shot. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, if you want to do that stuff more consistently, it would be kind of cool. But when it happens in this manner, it feels a little out of place and jarring, especially with the jail cell break scene with the still shot, snaps.
There's these little touches that are like these little artistic touches that are, that are would be nice if the movie had more style. And I mean, maybe I blame the DP for this, but I feel like the movie it looked like, let's set up the camera. We have to do the scene where Mickey Cohen gets angry at somebody. Okay, set up the camera. And we're just going to do it. And I told you in the middle of the movie, I was like, everything felt like it was first take. It was like, we got it. Oh, no, I could do it again. I could do this performance again. We could do this again. We get this camera.
Yeah, no, that's good. We got it.
Yeah, we got it. Don't worry about it. We got to move on to the next shot. Because I only got Gosling for another 2 days.
I'm a Bible salesman.
I don't know what it felt very much like.
That did feel that way.
By the numbers.
It also felt like everybody didn't want to really be involved.
No. And Gosling's
performance is so strange to me.
It's weird. I feel like that's the only way he was able to, like, I'm doing this movie, but I'm only going to do this movie if I can do this weird little voice.
Yeah, weird little meek voice. And it's like, I'm going to go against Tyler. I'm going to be meek, but I'm going to be a tough guy.
But that's the only way I'm going to do it, because otherwise it's no fun.
Well, you got to die something.
And at least you could say that's interesting, because he's trying to do
something. It doesn't work.
But he's trying to do something.
Here's the thing I was thinking about towards the end of the movie. I was trying to think of comparisons, and like Untouchables obviously pops in mind, and which was, I think, is fantastic. I love Untouchables, and this is not anywhere near the same camp. But remember when, and this is time period set way before, but remember there was dueling Wyatt Earp movies. There was Wyatt Earp,
oh, yes.
And there was Tombstone.
Sure.
And One was took it, the subject matter really seriously.
Yes.
And really went into great depth. And I actually liked them both a lot. I liked Wyatt Earp a lot because I liked what it did there with the story. And I liked Tombstone because it was fun and it had Kurt Russell and a bunch of characters. You know, I can't remember their names now, but a bunch of character actors, you know.
Yes.
Doing all sorts of goofy things. But the difference for me is that Tombstone, I remember just having so much more fun with. I remember the action scenes being more interesting and fun. And, yeah, it was over the top. Well, Val Kilmer, you know, like there are hammy performances and stuff like that, but at least you had fun with
right,
it.
Right.
And this, it just, there's no fun.
No, it's not fun at all. And that's another reason going into the movie why I was like, okay, I didn't like the trailers or anything I was seeing at all from this movie, but I'm like, you know what? It does feel a little bit like the kind of movie they don't really make as much anymore, if at all, or like a Young Guns type of 80s type thing,
where
you get all the current cool actors together.
And they're going to go in, and you want to see them, like, bust up a joint and, like, shoot a bunch of people and do all sorts of stuff. But in this, it just...
No,
that
it's
soul
completely...
just drained out of it.
Completely boring.
Like,
and even when there's, like, scenes that should be suspenseful, you're just sitting there, like, not caring at all.
No.
There's no threat or risk or danger.
And so there is, like, a threat. In fact, just comes out of nowhere. It's just, like, all of a sudden, like, all of a sudden everybody's threatened and Mickey knows everything about them. It's like, what's going... I mean, the story obviously is not going to make a lot of sense and it just doesn't really... Not really well told.
And it's actually very bad storytelling in the sense that, like, every opportunity they have to create suspense or edge-of-your-seat moments are botched in every way possible. I mean, the fact that there's this Chinatown sequence...
And it's like, you know
that it's a setup, but they don't even mine it for any kind of suspense value that the whole scene like that exists for.
I mean, Cohen is
one step ahead of him and they don't know it and they're walking into this thing and it's like, then don't have that shot of, like, make the audience not, can you not,
not
make
know,
us least, know that
yeah.
it's, and
Either
then
trick
reveal.
Us,
yeah.
Trick us because you're tricking them. Or reveal, but, like, what I didn't understand, I mean, I know we're into spoiler country, and I apologize to people that if they haven't seen this movie...
Yeah, I'm trying to do the best I can with being vague for you guys.
But there is a moment when all of a sudden Gosling just shows up out of nowhere, and it seems to be fully clued in to what's going on.
Right.
And I don't understand what...
I was just hoping to take you to bed.
There seems to be gaps in the movie.
Oh, that's true. And they cut out the movie theater shooting scene. That's so... They postponed the movie because of the movie theater shooting.
Yep.
But then they still cut the scene out. I wasn't aware that was cut out.
I wasn't aware it was cut out. I actually don't even know where it fits in the movie.
Well, it's probably when they were taking his things down. They take down...
The montage?
Mickey. Yeah, it was probably somewhere where they were... Maybe he had a theater. They were taking out the theater. You know, that's where the only place I could see it fitting. I liked Emma Stone once, and that was in Ruben Fleischer's first movie, Zombieland.
Take me away from all this and make an honest woman out of me?
What... I mean, Jesus. She's such a non-character.
I mean, but is that her fault or is that the script's fault?
No, that's true. That's true. But
I thought everybody was fine, other than the weird, you know, gossip.
I don't feel any.
They just didn't have anything to say or do. They were one-dimensional characters. I'm the guy with a family that's going to, you know, that's going to doing it for honor.
Don't go.
I felt like Dick Tracy liked Tess Trueheart.
I can't be with you on Dick Tracy.
I just feel like there's no chemistry between Gosling and Stone here.
No.
Very wooden and flat. They could have given it a little bit more spark.
Don't go.
I mean, that is up to them.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like Spider-Man, but I thought she gave better performance than Spider-Man.
Yeah, she's not really cutting the mustard.
No, she needs something to kind of do something with, but... Yeah, this is not... I mean, I kind of expected this movie not to be the movie I wanted to see, and it ended up not being the movie I wanted to see, and not even a movie that, you know, like, if it's lighthearted and just taken for laughs or goofs or...
But it wasn't even that. Like, it's like...
There's no good, like, one-liners or anything you'd want to come out of these. Like, that's in the movies in the 80s that you'd come out and be like,
yes,
like, you know...
There was that one 80s-esque one-liner. You know the drill.
Yeah, exactly.
It's,
exactly.
Like...
It's ridiculous.
And then, also, I just kept thinking to myself, Ruben Fleischer, every movie should have a surprise Bill Murray cameo. And that would be the only way that movie I would have, like, walked out loving it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, let's talk about Nick Nolte. Because the Nolte.
It feels like it hurts him to talk. And any word is like a struggle.
he's like on borrowed time and when he says
yes.
He shows up. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He's fighting off a heart attack any second away, and he's trying to get every last word out. Like, he's like, he always feels like he's dying. When he's just talking.
I felt weird seeing him up there. It just was
his face turns red,
yeah.
And he just says a couple of lines.
We're losing Los Angeles.
But your point about how awesome would yet another 48 hours.
I want to write it.
I mean,
it would be incredible.
Get Murphy and Nolte back again,
especially just in their both in their current state.
Yeah,
the way they are. I mean, you know, I guess you could say Eddie Murphy's aged well, but he still just looked the shadow of his former self in a weird way. And oh, Nolte, I like looking at him on screen because I'm scared and I just don't know what I'm looking at.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can just kind of imagine those two together again. Oh my God, that would have been so much time better spent if they just put all the money and effort.
Going back to Gangster Squad, I do want to say this because I was surprised that there was not like a Kanye West song or something in the middle of it. Like it was during like a shootout or something like that. I figured there would be like the top 40, you know, Billboard, you know, R&B hip-hop song or something like that. Yeah. Kind of hit.
No, that's cool, but I didn't like the score. It was just a generic score.
Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of movie that needs more of a...
Well, it's not, I mean, again, it's not L.A. Confidential. You know what I mean? If L.A. Confidential, you know, it's not one of these... The story is not well told. It's not just not well shot. It just doesn't have no glitz to it.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Connor.
He tries... How'd you feel about seeing... It's been a while since we've seen a nice, long, Steadicam intro shot to a location. I liked going into the club at a Steadicam shot.
You know, I thought of you liking that as
I
well.
Did like
and
that.
Liking the shot when we're over the car and we go out of one car and follow the other car.
No, but, I didn't like that. That was just...
too digi.
Too digi. That took me out of it. I just liked the Steadicam shot, but it almost felt like half-assed. Like,
it felt, yeah, I mean...
Why do it if you're not gonna...
Do it with some polish.
Yeah.
Do it like lighting or something. I mean,
yeah, like you said, it was the first take. Yeah, we got it. It was supposed to go longer. No, we got it. We'll just end it there. It's fine. It's no big deal. That's our shot. We'll end it there, and we'll just take it from there.
This could be personal preference, so I don't want to hold it against them, but maybe everything just looked too... Everything looked very clean to me. Maybe I didn't want to see it clean. Maybe I wanted to see this, you know, L.A. at that time period was dirty, you know, and the things that they're doing and the places that they're going should be, you know, gritty and rough around the edges, but everything just looked clean and polished.
No, that is true, and that's the difference between, like, when you see it in Roger Rabbit. It's very impressive. You see old L.A. in Roger Rabbit, and you see the red car, and it's just so cool.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It exists. They went back in time and shot. And here it's so digity. But, yeah, it's weird because when you see... When you see things in a movie like this in a realistic type of aesthetic, it just looks so horrible. Yet, I almost feel like, again, you can't go with me, but Dick Tracy feels more real, and it's all just cartoon. And yet, it's just, I guess, because that's the whole palette, so you can buy it more. When you have digity red cars going around here, it just takes me out of it. It's like out of place.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just hoping to take you to bed.
So.
And I don't like seeing... Like, I don't know, Giovanni or BC.
Like I said to you if he was coming back and bringing back his character from the other sister, I would absolutely have been over the moon for this one.
But that's what I'm saying, even with a step back curse that Ruben Fleischer, it affects his actors too. Because, like I said, she was so much better in Zombieland, and
but she's Hispanic just a big part.
Guy.
Michael Pena?
He was good in 30 minutes or less. He was really funny in that movie. Do you remember him?
He was just non-character. Like, these guys had nothing to do or say. They were one-note jokes. I'm the black cop who has a knife. That's all that guy was. He had no depth.
It's such
a stretch to think that there's, like, you know, like this is how this is set up. Okay, there's all these cops coming together, and, you know, they didn't have, you know, this kind of stuff set up. But, yeah, the way that they just didn't really flesh out these characters. You know, the one guy, he's just a quick shot.
Did you...
Who the hell, like, what? Where is he coming from?
What?
He was on a magazine, and all of a sudden they want to bring him on? It's just...
Did you find, did you feel that Tommy Lee Jones' character was still in
Josh Brolin?
Yeah, he kept teetering in and out of Tommy Lee Jones' leftovers.
Yeah, he was just, again, one note,
he
one note.
That face.
You know, driven man.
Yeah,
you know, no real fear for his family or anything like that.
Yeah, that's the problem. There was never fear for anything. He didn't feel anything. I mean, and then when Gosling is like, this is where I get off, and he's going to, I don't know, it's just like, okay.
Yeah, all right, see you later,
yeah,
I guess.
There's nothing to any of it, and that's pretty much the main problem, is you don't care about anything that you're going to watch in this movie. But everybody's going to see it this weekend, because of all the actors. Everybody likes those people.
You put huge stars in a movie. Sean Penn's going to get people to think it's going to actually have some credibility. And then Gosling's going to get all the girls because I hope that he's going to take his shirt off, which he doesn't, unfortunately.
I'm surprised that they didn't make him.
I know. I was thinking it was going to be a longer scene with Brolin in the tub, like standing up and flexing. I thought there would be a lot more of that kind of stuff.
Well, we got to see Emma Stone's side
boob. Side boob. side
which I'm surprised, because she sort of doesn't seem like the girl that wants to do that.
No, she doesn't want to show that stuff off.
She did it for Ruben, because he put her on the map.
Want to take me away from all this and make an honest woman out of me?
So, yeah, all right, well.
I'm giving it, you know, I go by the Netflix scale. I give it 2 out of 5 stars. Didn't like it.
Surprisingly generous. I give it 1.
I mean, but see, I wasn't bored.
I was getting so bored.
I thought that this was not well done, and this is not good. I would never want to see this again, but it wasn't like I just wanted it over, but it wasn't boring.
I
didn't hate it. I wasn't sitting there, like, insulted by the movie, like sometimes I can be, so.
I'm surprised, because I heard him laughing to himself throughout the whole movie.
What did I laugh at that? There was one moment when I laughed.
You were in your own head laughing at the movie. so much. I was trying to almost figure out what, because there were so many things to laugh at. I was like, is he laughing at all of those things? Or just is there one in particular that set him off? Like when they bust into the thing, he's like, we're the band. Like, oh, okay.
I think that's a
line that someone wrote, and then they had them say it, and then they all thought it was good.
That was the one take thing, because it's like, there's like a pause before he says, and that was like a long shot, a steady case shot. They walk in, and he's like, who are you guys? We're the band. Beat. Punch.
Yeah. You know?
It's,
yeah.
Like, wait,
it's all very awkwardly staged.
It's so awkwardly staged. It doesn't make any sense.
So, yeah. Well, all right. Well, so here we are. And then next time we see you guys, it'll be for the return of Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're all looking forward to The Last Stand because we've never really seen Schwarzenegger with...
I'm worried. With Knoxville? I'm worried.
Knoxville and Schwarzenegger.
I thought it was just going to be a Schwarzenegger movie, like an old school Schwarzenegger movie with Knoxville, but I heard somebody told me that they said, like in the latest trailer, I guess the Red Band trailer, it's more goofy than I thought it was
ridiculous.
Going to be. So I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to this, but I'm in. What am I going to do? It's Schwarzenegger. I got to go back for my guy.
Always. So we'll see you guys there. Thanks for listening for 17 minutes of this podcast was just as boring as the movie, probably. Nothing really exciting to say this week.
You're gonna be begging for a bullet before it's over.
Yeah, you know, feel free to tell us what you thought. Maybe you disagree. We'd love to know how.
Yeah, thanks. You know, just hit us on Facebook, Entertainment Geekly, like us, or follow us on Twitter, eGeekly. Send us some notes if you feel like you're up for it. Otherwise, avoid Gangster Squad, and we'll see you next week.
It won't ever happen again.
I swear to God.
You're talking to God. So you might as well swear to me.